scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 36. It'll be found on page 510 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Psalm 36, 1 through 6. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in their hearts. There is no fear of God before their eyes, for they flatter themselves in their own eyes that their iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of their mouths are mischief and deceit. They have ceased to act wisely and do good. They plot mischief while on their bed. They are set on a way that is not good. They do not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Jeremiah. This is a departure for Jeremiah. He's usually calling down God's wrath upon the people. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. God says, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then, when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart." Our third reading is from the New Testament, John's Gospel. It's page 109 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. John 15, 1 through 11. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete."
Thank you, Glenn. I'd like to invite Donna Brewer to come up at this time. Donna has been a mainstay at First Presbyterian Church for many years, and so it's a privilege for us to get to hear some of Donna's testimony. Donna, there's a microphone right there if you want to grab that. Donna was on the search committee that brought me here almost 20 years ago, and so I've been indebted to her in so many ways, helping to bring me to this beautiful place and to this beautiful congregation. Donna, tell us a little bit about who you are. Tell us about yourself.
Bear with me. I've had a hoarse voice and a cough for about a month, but I've asked the Lord to give me what I need to speak today. So, what was your first question? I'm going blank.
Just to tell us little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah. First off, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the most important identity I have. Secondly, I'm a wife. My husband, Bill, is here today. We've been married for 46 years. The mother of... Bill and I had three children, but I also have two stepchildren, two daughters there. So we have four daughters and a son. And between all those kids, we have 16 grandkids and one great-grandkid. Currently, I'm active. I'm an elder in the church, serving on the congregational care team. That's kind of who I am right now.
Okay. All right. So you grew up in Fairbanks. Tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up here and how you ended up coming to First Presbyterian Church. And yeah, just fill us in a little bit about your story growing up.
Okay. I was born in Fairbanks and... in a family of five children. Our parents were not active in the Christian realm at all. We never prayed at our house. We never had a Bible. We were loved a lot. We were well cared for. But that part was missing. I wasn't really a child of faith yet. But on the weekends, often my parents would go out of town, like on camping trips with other people. So the first three of us children in my family. Did I say how many were in my family? I think I forgot. Yeah, the five. So it was myself. I was the oldest of five, and then I had two brothers. And then several years later, I had always wanted a sister, but when I was 13, I had a brother, another one. Then when I was 14, I got a sister. She's here, Debbie. I'm so thankful. But it was a little hard to have a real close relationship because of the age difference. But God's taken care of that now. We're really good, close friends. So anyway, I always had just a little hunger in my heart for the things of God. I don't know quite where it was coming from, but I thought back about it. And when my parents would go out of town, sometimes we'd stay at this lady's house, Mrs. Bagley. I don't know if anybody here remembers Mrs. Bagley, but she lived on 4th Avenue. And she had a daughter named Bonnie. And Bonnie would come to church here, and so when I was there on the weekends, she would invite me, and I'd come here with her. And right away, I just loved being here. The Sunday school teachers were amazing. They were just full of love. They were teaching me the Bible stories, and so I would go home, and then when I wasn't at that other place on the weekends, I would beg my parents to take me, and you know, they did faithfully every Sunday. All through my grade school years, they dropped me off at church and came back and picked me up. I thought that's pretty incredible for a family that didn't go to church. And I just started growing. I'd never had a picture of Jesus in our house. And I heard a guy advertising on the radio that he was giving them away free. And I ordered it, so I got this picture. I was just excited. I got a Bible from the Sunday school. You know, my faith was just at the beginning there. And then my grandfather, he was my mom's stepdad. He was actually, in the later years, my later teens, he was an elder here at the church. And so when I spent the night with the grandparents that was up on 15th and Turner, I would walk to church with him. Not for the Sunday school part, but for the church service. It was hard to walk with him, too, because as you might have noticed, I'm a little short, and he was 6 foot something. So I'd have to do about 10 steps to every one of his strides. But I loved coming. And on my own, I decided when I was about 10 years old, 10 or 11, that I wanted to be baptized. The pastor then was Reverend Alfson, and he was just an awesome man. I can't tell you much about him except that he just exuded the love of Jesus. And I just knew I wanted to be baptized, so I did. And then a little bit later, actually, Jerry Klewer's dad was the pastor when I was in my early teens. I decided I wanted to commit my life, and I went to communicants class, came up from the church, and professed my faith. So those were the beginnings. And I want to say that those Sunday school teachers, you might remember, there were so many. I know I'm going to miss some names, but two of them that were very key were Pat Rogge and her sister, Betty Winfrey. They just really loved on me, and they spotted some of the gifts I had even as a young girl. Sometimes they'd even let me be the helper, and they told me I was really, you know, good at being a teacher, and I thought, well, I'm not a teacher. But they didn't know when I was at home, I was always playing teacher with my cousins and my brothers. I was the teacher. And it's interesting because my first year of college, I thought, I am not going out to be a teacher. I'm just going to take psychology and sociology. After 1 year, I knew I was to be a teacher, but they spotted that in me. So they saw some, you know, a little bit of gifting. So that's kind of beginning part.
So, you know, we met this week and talked through Donna's story, and one of the things that struck me was, you know, in the Bible, we see that the Lord regularly chooses to use people. And Donna's talked about these Sunday school teachers. And Amber got up and talked about the need within our own church right now for Sunday school teachers. And I was just thinking, wow, you know. I mean, Donna's story of how these Sunday school teachers so influenced her as a little girl, and then others that she'll talk about that influenced her, and the opportunity for you, you know, to step into these opportunities we have in our children's ministry and just to minister to our children and see what the Lord does. So Donna, you kind of wandered from the faith a little bit in your college years. When did you meet Bill?
Well, I met him when I was still in college, actually, just at the end when I was graduating. I'd gotten my degree in teaching. I was working at Safeway, which is where the post office is on 3rd and 4th. And he loves sweets, anybody that knows him. And I was working in the bakery department. He kind of tricked me. He told me that, he said, what are you doing Memorial weekend? I said, oh, I'm going up the river. My parents were always up the river fishing. And he said, oh, I'm going up there too. You want to just ride up with me? Funny thing is, he didn't do any fishing. And he was just, you know. But my dad loved him. My dad absolutely loved him, and I'd never dated anybody that Dad was so wild about. He shot some horseshoes, and he got ringers every time, so he had him totally mesmerized. So Bill and I got married about a year and a half later. I was already teaching school, and we were both really at a busy stage in our life. I mean, I was also working on my master's, teaching full-time. He was starting a new roofing business of his own, and Bill wasn't raised in a family that went to church either, so I was kind of slipping. I wasn't going as often as I should. But, you know, God knows when you need something, and some new neighbors moved in behind us. It was Phil and Elaine Gilbert, and they were active here in the church. And I'll tell you, I am so grateful for Elaine, for her moving in the Spirit, for her boldness, for her desire to disciple and mentor me, because she saw what God wanted to do with me that wasn't happening. She started out by saying, well, you're a teacher. Why aren't you teaching Sunday school? And I thought, ooh, I don't think I'm prepared for that. But she just continued, and she invited me to a neighborhood Bible study. And here I was in my mid-20s. I had never been to a Bible study. I'd never prayed out loud with other people, and I really was kind of just a believer that hadn't really grown, and she recognized it, and she was really being led by the Spirit of God, because I needed every bit of what she offered me. So I did go to the Bible studies, and I started learning a lot. I started praying. I really saw the work of God just coming alive in me. My faith was coming alive. And I never once resented her either. And she was kind of pushy. But I needed it. I needed it so much. You know, life is not easy. There've been hard things in my life, too. I haven't really focused a lot on those. But our family had some alcohol addiction, and some of the kids got into drug addiction. And it was just hard. There were things I couldn't fix. And I was beginning to realize we had a faithful God that just... He spared me a lot of that myself, and was just showing me ways to be a support and encouragement even to those outside the faith. So that was really an awesome time. And then our church, too. There wasn't much going on about the Holy Spirit in our church, and I was learning on the side about it. You know, there were a lot of television programs that where people would be on giving their testimonies about the work of the Spirit in their life, and I thought, why have I never heard this? This is not good. It's like I felt like I'd been robbed. In fact, I was a little bit mad at God. I thought, you know, how come other churches and other people know about the Holy Spirit and I don't? I'll be honest with you, I even said to God, I don't want to be in this church anymore, because it was doing great things, but it seemed to me it was missing a real important ingredient, or at least we weren't hearing about it. I also wasn't hearing anything about the fact that we have an enemy working against us. And once I learned that, I knew how to pray in different ways, and I didn't get focused on the enemy, but I knew that we were in a battle. So many things started happening, and God was just bringing more and more people into my life. And I can share some of those unless you want to ask me a question.
Well, Dolores Winder was one who was brought up here to First Press to teach over a weekend. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
And actually, before she came, there was just a move in the denomination, the Presbyterian Renewal and Reformed group. So we met people in Anchorage, like the Ralph and Louise, and they were connected with people like Dolores Winder. Now, some of you might have heard of her and some not, but she was a woman who had been miraculously healed of a severe back problem. She didn't even want to ask for healing. She thought it was hopeless. She was in a church that didn't believe in healing. But her friends drug her to a healing service. She was touched, miraculously healed, took off a brace that she'd been wearing for months, years, and walked out of that place. So anyway, in a long story short, God called her into that ministry to pray for people. So she was coming here. That was when Kearney Kostra was our pastor. And I didn't tell you this, but Bill and I, he'd built us a house, and a really big, new, beautiful house back in the late 70s or mid-70s. And I always felt kind of guilty about it. I thought, gee, not everybody has a new house like we do. So some of my friends at the time came out and prayed and went through every room of the house, and we dedicated it to the Lord. And man, that's a dangerous thing to do, because we ended up having so many people come and stay with us. So you have to have a gift of hospitality to go with it. But I had it. I didn't even know it. So that was all a God thing. So we used to get lots of the people coming up for the conference would stay in our home. And Bill and Dolores Winder were one of them. So she really was encouraging me, too. It seems like everybody that kept coming into my life kept letting me know there was so much more, that there was the Holy Spirit, and that I kind of needed to be set free in the Spirit. So I don't know what year it even was, but we had a service here that night. One of the nights that Dolores was here. And I know it's okay if I share this, because Marcelle's let me share it before. In fact, she encouraged me to. But Marcelle Culp, most of you know her. She's 98 now. So this was a long time ago. But Marcelle came forward that night because it was a prayer and healing service. And she said she was suffering from severe fear that she might get some of the diseases that her family had, like cancer, and she just was overcome with fear. So she asked for prayer for that, and she asked also that she would just be a bolder Christian. Well, that night, I saw the Spirit of God move on Marcille. She went down on the floor under the Spirit. And if you know Marcille, she would not do that if it weren't God doing it. And God did a beautiful work here, and it just touched me so much. As she laid there, she just said she felt this healing balm. We talked to her afterwards. And she stood up and she said, I don't feel the fear anymore. And I just feel strong. And so even that next Sunday, she stood up at church and shared. And she had asked for boldness. And Marcille never used to stand up in church. So that was just kind of the beginning. We had healing services for several years. I remember one night that a friend of mine was here, and she said, my husband's shoulder is just killing him. He's in severe pain. But he wouldn't come for prayer. And I said, that's okay. We can pray without him. So she kind of sat in the chair. We prayed for her husband. And I paid attention what time we were doing that. I don't know why I did, but it was like 8:10. She got home, and she called me, and she said, Donna, you're not going to believe it. But the minute that we were praying, my husband said his shoulder was healed. And he was swinging his shoulder around and around. When she left, he couldn't even lift it. So, you know, all these little things were just evidence to me that the power of God, just trusting him, believing in what he can do. There's just tons of them.
And the Lord would test that, wouldn't
he? Yeah.
Like 16 years ago, Bill was diagnosed with a very
acute leukemia.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we went to the health fair on a Friday. We got a phone call on the following Monday from the labs in Anchorage, and they said, ooh, your husband has to get his blood work redone because it looks really bad. Something's going on here. So he went in and got a call from the doctor because the test came back the same way. He had no, his platelets were low, his white count and red count were all over the place, and long story short, he had acute leukemia. We got a bone marrow test that confirmed it. We saw Dr. Carroll, and he said, you need to get out of here, like, tonight. And we said, tonight? This was in the afternoon. I said, we can't be ready to go anywhere. But he arranged for us to go to University of Washington, and we didn't go that night. We were up all night making arrangements and went the next day. He had told us that Bill had probably a 30-some percent chance if he took the chemo treatments. And if he didn't, he probably had about 6 weeks because those things were multiplying by the millions. On the flight, while we sat there on the plane, oh, that's why I have these tissues, Bill was writing down pages of things that I would need to do when I came back without him, because we had no guarantee. And I had my prayer journal, and I was just, you know, praying and sharing scriptures between the Lord and I of just how I'm putting my trust in you. I'm not going to fear. And, you know, right before we left, I should add here, my sister said to me, Donna, Bill's going to go through a really rough time, but he's going to make it. And I learned later that was a prophetic word from my sister, because Bill did make it. It's been 16 years ago. But while we were there, there were just lots of things that we had to trust God for. And I was just, every day I would journal and spend time with the Lord. I'd stay there till late at night, and when Bill would start to get the chemo treatment, I would pray two main things. I said, Lord, would you kill these leukemia cells? Use this chemo to kill those, but would you protect the rest of him, all his organs? And while we were there, we saw a lot of people die. There were people that had to have bone marrow transplants. And Bill actually had to stop the induction part a week earlier than they recommended because he got some respiratory arrest where the dead leukemia cells went into his lungs. And that was a God thing because the doctors weren't seeing it. And I would see it when we'd go for walks around the hall. He was just gasping for air. He'd go, but then when he'd get back in his bed, he looked good. So I said, man, we've got to share this with the head oncologist. But he was really hard to find. He was a busy, busy guy. And so the day I spotted it, it was early in the day, and I knew we weren't going to see him till the next day. So I just prayed, Lord, help me. And I left his room to go do something. I got in the elevator, and there was the oncologist in this huge hospital. I just said, hey, is there any way you could come check Bill out? And he did. Got him off the treatment immediately and gave him some steroids. But I knew right then, again, God had just sort of stepped into our situation and protected him, because it was so bad that they took him off, if you can imagine. It wasn't like he could go back. There's another thing. I was all through this whole process. I was kind of discovering the gifts of the Spirit that were out there, and I wanted gifts. I was just asking God all the time, whatever gifts you have, can I have some? I want everything. I was kind of a pig. Piggy. Really, I just saw all these neat gifts. Well, I recognized he had given me a huge gift of faith, because I wasn't fearful while we were there. I actually had so much confidence and awareness of God's presence, and I just knew Bill was in his hands. I also, I realized I think I had a bit of a gift of discernment. Bill had a brother that was estranged from him for a little bit, and he showed up at the hospital room. He walked in, and he had this crystal that he'd had, and he said to us, hey, Bill, you've got to take this crystal and hold it. This is going to give you strength, and you're going to be, you're going to come through this if you count on this crystal. And man, immediately my hair just stood up. I thought, oh, we can't allow this. I knew right away that that could destroy the testimony of God's healing, even though I didn't know he was healed yet. So bless my husband, he trusted me, and I just said, we have to get it out of here. You can't touch it. It's just going to foul things up. And, I followed through, and I actually remember talking to Mary, and I called a couple other friends, talked to Andy, and I said, am I doing the right thing? Because I don't want to do the wrong thing. This is his brother who's come back and tried to make a connection. But it all worked out. It was just awesome.
And we've seen that spirit of that discerning of spirits gift at work in this church many times, Donna. And kind of wrapping it up, what parting words of wisdom would you like to leave with your church family? Anything that you just feel like you've learned, you've seen, or the Lord has laid on your heart?
There's so many things, but I guess the main one is, first off, if there's anybody here today that has never accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, don't leave here without doing that. It'll be the hugest, best decision you can ever make. But then I think probably the majority of you are believers, and I would just say, just seek everything God has for you. Ask him to give you the desire for more, especially for the Holy Spirit. That's what I think has been the key for me, is that the Holy Spirit was set loose in my life. There's so many ways to look at it, but I think of the passage in Acts 1:8 where Jesus told the disciples right before he left, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I think sometimes we don't move in the power of his Spirit like we could and should. This world needs us. The second part is that would be us being willing to receive all God has for us. But then, what does he want to do with us? That's the key. Every day, I try to make a habit of saying, Lord, what's your plan? What's your will? Because I always have my plans. I have a day planner. But I want to say, let me be flexible. Let me hear from you, because God speaks. He speaks to us if we're listening. And he'll show us who we might need to minister to, what needs are out there, and also hunger for the gifts. I think sometimes those gifts are dormant in us, but God wants to, bring them to life. So it's an exciting journey. I'm excited to be in a church where we have people open to all that God wants to do, and I pray for much more of it. We need more. I need more. And thank you for that song about the Spirit. I think, Spirit really wants to be at work in us. That was awesome. All the songs. I was amazed how everything I'd been thinking about came through everything today.
Praise God. Well, let's just reach out a hand to Donna and let's just pray a blessing over her, shall we?
Thank you.
Lord, we want to thank you for Donna. We want to thank you for the ways, oh, so many, many ways, down through the years that because she has been available and yielded to you, surrendered to you, and said, Lord, what is your will for my life? That you have used her in such mighty ways. So many women through the Bible studies every week in this church have been ministered to by Donna through the prayer ministry. I know that my own family has been ministered to so many times by Donna and by her her gift of encouragement. And Lord, we just pray an increase. We ask, Lord, for more of your Spirit to just flood over Donna. Just fill her up, Lord. Just let her know and discover that there is more than she could ever conceive. Overwhelm her, we ask, with your presence and use her for mighty, mighty things in the future, Lord. We thank you for her. We thank you for Bill. We thank you for bringing healing to Bill 16 years ago. And you are just such a good God. We bless you and praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen.